What is up, my love, and welcome back to the 1% Woman podcast. We are coming at you with the very last Valentine's Day themed relationship topic series that I've been doing for you guys, and I'm really, really, really excited to talk all things unconventional feminine embodiment. I feel like today's conversation is going to be a little bit spicy. I honestly have a lot of things to say about the embodied feminine. I think mostly because it's gotten a lot of virality in the social media world, which means that there's also a lot of, in my opinion, misconceptions associated with it. So I'm excited to share with you guys my own view, experience, opinions on what feminine embodiment has looked like for me, with a major, major disclaimer to say that I am not a feminine embodiment expert by any means. There's tons of incredible women out there who are experts in the space of reclaiming your feminine embodiment as a whole. I will actually honestly even just link some of my favorite ones down below in the caption if this is like really resonating with you guys, because again, I am not a feminine embodiment expert. However, what I really hope to do in today's podcast episode is share with you guys what my journey has looked like with reclaiming my feminine as a very achievement-driven woman. Because number one, I really enjoy talking about it. And number two, reclaiming my feminine has really changed my life when it comes to one, my relationship with myself, two, my relationship with partners, and then three, also my relationship inside of my business. And so I figured it was just a perfect kind of concept or perfect topic to wrap up this Valentine's Day relationship themed series that I've been doing. And I would venture to say that my view on feminine embodiment is slightly unconventional, because truthfully, I've never really resonated with what I originally thought feminine energy or embodiment was. Through social media, only knowing feminine embodiment as this stereotypical archetype of the woman who's really soft and spiritual and sensitive and peaceful and slow and innocent and grounding with Mother Earth, like giving Disney fairy princess vibes, which I loved. And I was so inspired by these women who were able to be really powerful and successful while also being very soft and spiritual and sensitive and slow and almost like very much more connected and in tune with themselves and their intuition and their bodies than I was. However, I didn't really resonate with this form of feminine energy. That's just not my natural state of being. But come to find out, as I've started to explore feminine embodiment more and more, in hopes to really reclaim this part of myself, I learned that there was actually a whole range of feminine archetypes. So for me, and for a lot of my other ambitious 1% women who naturally have this more alpha personality, what I'm really hoping is that by sharing my journey so far, that maybe it can give you a different view or perspective on how you can start to re-embody your feminine in a way that feels more aligned and authentic for you. So I'm really excited to dive into today's episode. I want to start off with really just talking about what the feminine is and why it is often wounded in a lot of high achieving women, especially compared to its counterpart, the masculine energy. And then we can kind of start to explore what some of those archetypes really are, dive into some of the more tangible things that I've been doing in my journey to reclaim these parts of my feminine, how it's healed my relationship dynamics, my identity, and really just transitioned so many different aspects of my lifestyle and my business. So the most simple place to start when it comes to comparing masculine versus feminine is that the feminine is more about the being. She is about receiving and creation and emotion and expression and intuition and surrendering, versus the masculine is about the doing. The masculine is about controlling and achievement and discipline and structure and logic and action. So in this podcast, I really want to talk about balancing these two energies within yourself as an individual. But because we are kind of going with the theme of the relationship series, I also want to emphasize why you embodying your feminine is really important to focus on in order to thrive in your romantic relationship. The reason that masculine and feminine energies are so important within your romantic relationships is because it's necessary for attraction. We need this polarity of someone who's embodying a more dominant masculine and someone who's embodying a more dominant feminine. We need those polarities in order to create an attraction. And if there are two masculine energies within a relationship, then there's going to be a constant power struggle. There's going to be a lot of conflict within that relationship because both partners are going to want to be in charge. Both partners are going to want to be the leader, going to want to be the provider, going to want to be the decision maker and have things go their way. Therefore, there's going to be, again, a lot of conflict there. If both partners are heavy in their feminine, then there's going to be a lot of stagnation because there is not going to be a leader. No one's going to be taking charge or making decisions. There's going to be likely a very boring relationship because nothing's going to be happening of significance, right? So we need a partner who's more in that leader role, in that provider role, in that protector role of the masculine energy. And we need a partner who's more in the feminine role, the receiver role, the playful, adventure, spontaneous role of the feminine. And again, this is not necessarily specific to gender. The man could be embodying more of the feminine archetype and the woman could be embodying more of the masculine archetype. You just have to find what works for one, you as the woman, and two, your partnership, your relationship. And also understanding that as a woman, you are going to possess both the masculine and the feminine as the individual. So you can, in some times, in some seasons, in some days, be more in the masculine role, and your man, your partner, could be more in the feminine role. And in other seasons, you could be more in that feminine role, and your man could be more in the masculine role. It is going to be dynamic. And that is the beauty of being able to have balance within you as the individual, to be able to know, when do I tap into my masculine? When do I tap into my feminine? This is the true key to being able to achieve your potential, which is why I'm excited to talk about that today, to refer to you as the individual, that you are made both of masculine and feminine essence. How are we able to tap into both of these energies within ourselves? And the reason, as women, we struggle to tap into this feminine side is because of what we see in today's hustle culture, right? All of these masculine traits of control, of drive, of discipline, of achievement, of logic, of action, they are praised by hustle culture. And the feminine ones are shamed. So there's this very idealistic identity that we start to mold ourselves to in order to be seen as a quote-unquote successful woman, because that's what we're taught we need to do or who we need to be. Just think of like all the leaders, all the role model leaders that we see in culture or society today, majority of them are male. And with this rise of feminine empowerment, we are seeing some women creep up there. But basically all that's happened is we've taken the male blueprint for success and we're pasting it onto women. And it just doesn't work like that. At our core essence, we are not, literally from a physiological perspective as women, we are not designed to be successful in the same way that a male is. So for women, this becomes very toxic to our identity because it polarizes us from our feminine essence. We take these parts of ourselves that are our feminine essence and we push them, we shove them into our shadows. We neglect this feminine side of being tapped into our emotions and our intuition and our sensuality and our expression, our authentic expression, and our ability to receive. All of this gets shoved into our shadows, and yeah, again, it becomes very toxic to our identity, and it completely polarizes ourselves, and it kind of forces us to create success in a very unsustainable way. So I wanted to share some of the things throughout my childhood and throughout my life that have caused me, or that did cause me, to become very masculine dominant and start to neglect my feminine side. And maybe you can see this within your own journey or with your own experience. So the first thing that I think caused me to have a wounded feminine was being so driven by athletics. I was an elite soccer player for my entire life, and athletics, sports, very masculine dominant, right? It's very achievement driven. You are required to push yourself hard to extremes, and for me, I know my identity became tied to that. My identity became tied to being a soccer player. So I lost that form of who I was, my authentic self-expression, because I just tied my identity to what I did and the success that I had within that sport. So that's the first one. The second one, and this one's a little bit different, but I really truly believe that my experience in high school contributed a lot to this. So I went to an all-girls Catholic high school where everything was standardized, right? You go to an all-girls Catholic high school, you are kind of put into this box of this good girl box. We wore skirts down to our knees. We all wore the same exact thing. Everything was very streamlined. It was like an all work, no play mentality. So in this experience, all of us there were pretty much stripped from our form of self-expression. Like, you had to follow the rules. There were so many rules that we had to follow for how we were supposed to dress, how we were supposed to express ourselves, who we were supposed to be, what was good, what was bad. And the only thing that we had to separate ourselves or to define ourselves, or what honestly made us quote unquote good girls, was our grades and our achievements. And so that is what became the defining factor. That's what I started to define myself by. So not only was I defining myself by my success in my sport, but I was also defining myself by my success, my grades, my achievements in school. And again, between both of these things, I really developed this mentality of all work, no play, which is very masculine dominant. My whole life revolved around these two things. I carried that all the way through college, because I played soccer all the way through college. Also in college, cherry on top of this equation, was I struggled with an eating disorder my very first semester of college. And I mean, I struggled with an eating disorder very severely my very first semester of college, but let's be honest, the mentality of the super obsessive eating and working out carried on years and years and years beyond just that time that I was malnourished, right? So in college, I struggled with an eating disorder. An eating disorder is a manifestation of so many masculine traits that I carried with me for years. The hyper control, the obsessive nature, the pushing myself to extremes, the proving my worth by the way that my body looked. All of this was causing me to feel super disconnected from my body, super unsafe in my body. I was living in this chronic fight or flight mode. And when you are in fight or flight, you are in a place where you don't feel safe internally. And when you don't have a sense of safety, you cannot be embodied in your feminine. You are going to start to express more of these masculine traits, because you are going to turn to these quote unquote protective patterns. You are going to start to be in this more masculine role to protect yourself, because internally you don't feel safe with who you are. And so that's why I was always, always doing things. I always need to be achieving more. Again, subscribing to this very masculine role, because I felt unsafe in who I was internally. And so when I first started to do a lot of this inner work and started to really learn about the masculine and the feminine energies, there were some key signs that I started to recognize within my own actions and my own mindset that I knew my feminine was wounded. Some of these signs being, number one, that I defined my worth by my productivity and my success. I've harped on this one a lot already, but I think that one goes without saying. I defined myself my productivity or my success, so I became defined by it. Number two, I was not able to rest. I was not able to have fun. I had no hobbies. Again, all work, no play mentality, always pushing myself hard to achieve. I literally could not work. It was something that I physiologically couldn't do, and I felt very guilty and very shameful when I wasn't working. So that was number two. Number three is I had a really poor self-image. Again, I struggled with an eating disorder. I was completely disconnected from my body. I was not taking care of my well-being in the right way. I was controlled by diet culture. I was at some point abusing caffeine, just a lot of really unhealthy habits. I didn't have my period for years. So again, very disconnected from my womanhood, my femininity as a whole. Number four, I was very emotionally disconnected. So a very masculine thing to embody is that, you know, you put on this armor, you put on this tough girl persona, because emotions are seen as vulnerability. Emotions are seen as weakness. They need to be kind of pushed to the side if you want to be successful, right? That's the narrative that we are told. So I was very emotionally disconnected. Number five, I lacked a lot of boundaries in my life, specifically work-life boundaries. I was a people pleaser. I struggled to ask for help. I wanted to do everything on my own. I wanted to be in control of everything. So that was number five. Number six was I compared myself to other women all of the time. I always felt threatened by other women. I always felt inferior to them. And I used things like my beauty or my business in order to try to feel some sense of superiority to them. So again, very ego-driven kind of mentality here, a very masculine role, very masculine archetype, very masculine traits, this desire for superiority, this desire for dominance, right? That's a very masculine trait. And lastly, I struggled with a lack of self-trust. I didn't know how to listen to my intuition, which is something that is really important as a woman and within the feminine archetype, is being able to listen to your intuition, being able to trust yourself. Again, instead, I was just very controlling, very perfectionistic, very logic driven. And that became super unsustainable and super unhealthy for me. I think the biggest thing for me that drove me to be so masculine dominant and wounded my feminine was that success was the most important thing to me than anything. And this is what I was taught. This is what I was taught I needed to do in order to feel like I was good enough, in order to be worthy of love. And because of that, we are taught or told that we need to be a certain type of person in order to reach that level of success. We needed to start to embody all of these masculine qualities, and we need to repress the feminine ones. And this caused me to not just neglect these parts of myself, but also to neglect parts of my life. My health, my well-being, my relationships, my fulfillment, my fun. And so when I started to re-embody and reclaim these feminine traits, the hardest thing to face was that my masculine qualities were actually the ones that got me to the level of success that I had achieved. And success still being a huge core value of mine, it was so petrifying to let the gas off of them. To let go of the control, to let go of the always needing to be doing it and always needing to be productive and always being driven by achievement. It was so petrifying to let go of these parts of my identity that I had created such a strong need for, right? Because my worth was dependent on it. And to open up to the fact that, oh my gosh, there's actually a different and frankly better way to do this whole entrepreneurship thing. There's actually a different and better way to do this whole relationship thing. There's actually a different and better way to do this whole achievement thing. That, frankly, success didn't have to come with so much sacrifice and so much internal suffering that I was putting myself through. But ultimately, like, my journey got to a point where I was like in so much internal confusion and conflict. And I really had to like look myself in the mirror and be like, what do you really value? And I value fulfillment in my relationships and my business so much more than I do the empty success and burnout that I was actually feeling at the time. So this forced me to make the really uncomfortable and scary leaps to get to where I have today, to start embodying more of the feminine archetype, the feminine energies, the feminine parts of my identity. And it all started to click when I learned that the feminine has multiple archetypes. That broadly, there are the light sides of the feminine, which is what I was referring to earlier. The more soft, sensual, spiritual, sensitive, slow, graceful, playful, innocent, nurturing, Disney fairy princess vibes. There is that archetype, but there's also so much more to the feminine than just that. Because honestly, like, subscribing to the light feminine archetype felt just as inauthentic to me, right? But there's also this darker side of the feminine, the bad bitch, queen, unbothered, confidence vibes that's associated with the other feminine traits like authenticity and assertiveness and attractiveness and seductive passion, transformation, power, confidence, fearlessness, magnetic energy. Like, it's giving the Rihanna, Beyonce, Megan Fox, Angelina Jolie vibes. Like, that is the kind of 1% woman energy that I could get behind. That felt authentic to me as a more achievement-driven woman. Not to mention, beyond just the light and dark archetypes, there are actually 7 different specific feminine archetypes that have been coined by Carl Jung, which Carl Jung is the founder of Shadow Work, my favorite personal development tool to date that has been so transformational for me that I have been super fascinated by and loved exploring these 7 different archetypes and the different shadows within each of the archetypes and the different gifts that each of the archetypes possess and bring. I'm not going to dive deep into all 7 archetypes here, again, because I'm not an expert at them and I'm still exploring them for myself. I hope to eventually bring on a guest who can talk a little bit more on all 7 of these archetypes, but I'll put some women that I really look up to in this space in the caption below who do speak a little bit more specifically on these feminine archetypes. But the truth is, the divine feminine, which is the ultimate goal, is a blend of the two, is a blend of the light, is a blend of the dark. And so that's what I've really been exploring as I've been reclaiming my feminine. And there are some tangible things that I have done specifically to start to step into my feminine more in life, in business, and in my relationships. So that's really what I want to share with you guys in today's episode. A long-winded way of saying that and to getting to the point of what I really want to share with you guys, which are the things that I've done to start to reclaim my feminine as an achievement-driven woman, as someone who runs a successful business. How have I been able to kind of let the gas off my masculine, feel safe in doing that, and start to bring more pieces of my feminine to my business, to my relationships, to my health and fitness journey, and to my life as a whole. So, without further ado, let's dive right in. The very first one, most important, okay? If there's one thing that you take away from this, let it be this one key point. I stopped trying to prove myself. Stopped trying to prove myself. Because ultimately, that was the one thing that was driving all of my masculine traits, was that I felt like I needed to prove myself in order to feel like I was good enough, in order to feel like I was worthy of love, which is why I attached my identity to my success and why success became, or the successful identity, the idealistic successful identity became the traits that I began to embody. When I stopped trying to prove to myself, or not prove to myself, when I stopped trying to prove myself, I actually was able to tap into who I am. Regardless of all the things externally that validate that. So I used to attach my identity to all the things externally, but when I let go of trying to prove myself, I was able to figure out who am I internally? What are the characteristics that are authentic to me? What are the gifts that I have? What are the strengths that I have? Who am I? What lights my soul on fire? It really forced me to like ask myself this question. If I were to take away all of the things that I've achieved or accomplished, if I were to take away even my body, if I were to take away all the labels and just like literally see myself for the energy and the essence of Gab, who is that? What is that? And that, like, connecting with my energy and my essence and my soul as a woman helped me see my value and see my worth and see my enoughness regardless of anything external that I had to prove for it. And so I stopped the performative nature of these masculine archetypes, and because of that started to be able to tap more so into my authenticity, my power, my purpose, my confidence, and my like most authentic form of self-expression that is magnetic, right? I really had to focus on changing my self-talk, and I really had to detach myself from the external validators like my body or like my business. Those were the two biggest ones that really resonated for me. But I encourage you to think, what is that for you? Where do you attach your identity externally? Where do you feel like you need to put on this performative energy? Where do you feel like you need to prove yourself? And start to really zone in on that and focus in on detaching yourself from it. That is number one. All right. Number two is that I started to focus more on a feminine approach to my fitness journey. Being someone who struggled with an eating disorder, this has been a huge value of mine. My health is a huge value of my life, but I was taking a very masculine approach to it. The tracking macros, the pushing myself super hard in the gym, the weight training all of the time. There was so much control that I was exerting over my food and over my body and over my workouts, and being able to tap into this feminine approach to fitness where it was more of like a holistic approach. It was more about listening to my body than changing my body. It was exploring other forms of exercise, slower forms of exercise like yoga, like walking. It was transitioning away from macro tracking to intuitive eating. It was allowing me to learn how to listen to the intuition of my body, to feel safe in my body. And this has been so transformational for me. It's allowed me to tap into that more sensual side. It's allowed me to tap into that expression of my sensuality. It's been allowed me to tap into listening to my intuition. It's allowed me to heal so much internally from like an emotional standpoint, from a hormonal standpoint. When I started taking a more feminine approach to my fitness journey, meaning something that was a lot more about listening to my body than changing my body, so much healed for me when it came to reclaiming my feminine and feeling safe in my body again and feeling healthy in my body again and tapping into my sensuality again. So that was number two. Number three was that I started to go on girls trips. I started to focus way more on sisterhood and surrounding myself with other high vibe women. I needed to do this to break the wounded sisterhood, to break that toxic comparison, that feeling of inferiority or feeling threatened by other women that used to control me. So back in May, this is really when my feminine journey really kickstarted, because this is where I really learned about more of like the other forms of the feminine that weren't the stereotypical social media view of what feminine energy is, but really started tapping into sensuality and rage and shadow work. And yeah, it was on that Mexico trip back in May of 2023 where we were secluded on a resort in Mexico with 9 other incredible women, where we were completely disconnected from what felt like to be the outside world. And not only did this allow us to, one, tap deeper within ourselves, but two, go deeper with each other and to see each other more in our own vulnerability, in our own authenticity. We were able to just let go and kind of take off all of the pressure of success or social media or work or even like the masks or labels or identities that other people knew us to be, because these girls were all strangers. And so it gave me specifically permission to just be who I truly am and to try that on for once in my life, because these people didn't have this preconceived idea or notion of who I was. And that really allowed me to explore more of my authenticity, to feel the safety with being seen in my vulnerability and in my authenticity, and to allow myself to tap into things like play, like surrender, like intuition, like my sensuality, like my rage, like my emotions, in a place that just felt really, really safe and supported and seen in doing so. And so that Mexico trip was really transformational for me to kind of kickstart my sisterhood, and no longer comparing myself or feeling threatened by other people and starting to surround myself by more high vibe women. I joined what was called the Philly Girl Collective when I lived in Philly. That was like just a group of a bunch of other female entrepreneurs in Philly that we all like supported each other. We had different like networking events that I went to. That was really awesome. And then I also joined Top Tier Mastermind at the end of 2023. That was just a bunch of other high vibe women. That was a business mastermind at first, but then we also went on an immersion retreat and we spent a whole entire week together. Again, just another place to be seen in my wholeness and in my authenticity by people who didn't previously know me in my past life was really, really, really cool to experience. And again, just allowed me to give myself permission to just try on who am I authentically and allow that to be seen and loved and supported. And it literally just allowed me to kind of continue to branch out of my shell and tap into my self-expression. So that was number three. Number four was tapping into my emotions. So like I said, I did this a lot on the Mexico trip, but it's not necessarily just about tapping into my emotions from like a love and peace and joy and happiness perspective, but like also allowing myself permission to feel the rage and the anger that we often harbor. And because we suppress it because we feel like we aren't allowed to feel our emotions. Emotions are vulnerable, emotions are weak, so we are told, so we are taught. But being able to tap into your emotions where it feels safe in a healthy and productive way is so, so important for emotional health, mental health, and your internal energy. And yeah, that has just been like huge for me to learn how to tap into my emotions and to give myself permission to do so. Because if you can't selectively numb one emotion, and I talk about this all the time, but if you are numbing things like rage or anger or shame or guilt or grief or whatever negative emotion that we are numbing because we feel like we aren't worthy of feeling it or we're not allowed to feel it, we are also simultaneously numbing the positive end of the emotional spectrum. You can't selectively numb one emotion. When you numb one emotion, you numb yourself from being able to feel the depths of all emotions. And this is where I really caught myself in the end of 2022. I was so numb to any emotion. And so when I really started to allow myself to feel the negative ones that I had been suppressing and harboring for years, it allowed me to experience the depths of the positive ones, like love, like peace, like gratitude, like joy, like happiness. Like those emotions started to bring me to tears because I was like, oh my gosh, I've never experienced the ecstasy of this before. And it all started because I gave myself permission to feel the emotions that I wasn't giving myself permission to feel in the past. The shame, the anger, the rage, the guilt, all of those things. So tapping into your emotions is going to be a huge thing that's going to allow you to tap into that more feminine, playful, innocent, happy, joyful nature, loving nature. So yeah, that's number four. Number five was my appearance. So I just started putting a lot more intention into my appearance. Not from like a, oh, I'm just going to put my makeup on today, because I always put makeup on and I always kind of got ready, but I put intention into my appearance through the lens of how do I want to express myself? How do I want to express myself? Your appearance is a really powerful form of self-expression. Your appearance in your body language, how you carry yourself with your shoulders held high and your shoulders back and your head held high, your appearance being your scent, your appearance being your style, your appearance being the glow of your skin, your appearance being the color of the jewelry that you choose to wear. Like there's so many things that go into your appearance and your form of self-expression. So for me, the one thing that really makes me feel super feminine, super in my feminine, super in my confidence, in my bad bitch nature is my scent. When I have like that signature, like vanilla, musky vanilla scent that I put on, like I just feel so freaking powerful. And I think all women have this thing. Maybe it's like your sunglasses that you put on. I know another creator shared, it's like the one thing that makes me just feel put together and more confident is putting my earrings on. Like when I have my jewelry on, I just feel like that powerful, confident, bad bitch woman energy. Like, what is that for you? Again, is it sunglasses? Is it the purse? Is it the lipstick? Is it the winged eyeliner? Like, for me, it's my scent. It's like smelling good makes me get into that energy. So like, find what that is for you. Maybe it's like the one specific like blazer that you choose to put on or wear. What makes you feel? Maybe it's like the Gucci belt. I don't know, right? Figure out what that is for you. Your appearance is a huge form of self-expression. Another place that I started to explore self-expression a lot was in my business and in my creation process. So a lot of my business is content creation, right? And I used to, this was reflected back to me when I started doing inner work, is like, Gab, a lot of your creation is from a very transactional place. You are creating in order to, one, have your audience perceive you in a certain way, and two, to get clients, to bring people into your business, which obviously is a huge piece of the process of building a business, right? And also, how do we also create from a place of expression? So go from transactional creation to expressional creation. This is when we are no longer having to go out and seek clients and put in work for clients to come into our business, but rather we are just able to show up as our most authentic and magnetic and expressive self, and we attract clients through that. That is the how you create a more magnetizing brand. So that's something that I'm still working on and I'm still exploring, is creating more expressional content as opposed to transactional content. But even just something as simple as focusing a little bit more on the aesthetics of my feed or the aesthetics of my content has allowed me to tap into how do I express myself most authentically within my business. This is what makes you more attractive. So some of the things that have really come to the surface for me, or that I've really explored, is that one of the places that I feel the most confident in my self-expression is when I can sit in the role of like teacher. I love, love, love to teach and share my knowledge, just like, you know, recording these podcasts. I am teaching you guys, right? I'm teaching these concepts that I've learned, one, through my own experience, through my own wisdom of those experiences, and two, through the things that I've learned through my own research and books and podcasts and masterclasses that I've been a part of. Like, this is how I thrive expressing myself. Other people express themselves in other ways. Like, some content creators like to role play, like they like to create skits. Other people like to just like write stories. I like to teach, and that's where I feel the most confident in my expression. And that's how I like to create. So kind of figuring out what form of creative vortex really feels the most authentic to you and really allows you to express your gifts in a way that feels fulfilling and aligned for you, I think is another huge way that you can tap into your feminine within your business or within your content creation. And if you're not a business owner, again, it's just tapping into your form of self-expression as a whole. Maybe it's not even creation within a business, but it's creation of art in any form, music or drawing, or I don't know what another form of like art would be or creation would be. But yeah, just figuring out how can you create more? Create more from this place of self-expression, from this place of authenticity, from this place of your zone of genius. I think figuring out what that is for you will really help you tap into that feminine side. So that is number 5, is self-expression through both appearance and through your creation or my creation. Number 6 is kind of twofold. There's a paradox here. On one end, I focused a lot on leaning back and letting others lead me, like no longer always needing to be in the leader role, especially within my relationships, kind of just saying yes more and just being more spontaneous, letting other people decide what we're going to do for dinner, where we're going to go, what the reservations are going to be, without me needing to plan it in ahead of time or know ahead of time or having some sort of say in it or control. I'm just like, you figure it out. You tell me what it is I'm going to do and I will do it. Like, that is the surrendered feminine. And so I focus a lot on that. Now, contrary to that, saying yes more is also setting boundaries more, setting strong boundaries that protect my energy and not just being a people pleaser that gets walked all over by other people. So that is the other side of it, is like setting boundaries that protect my energy. That is more of the dark feminine trait that I've been really focusing on, is how do I set healthier boundaries for myself in my relationships, in my business, specifically work-life boundaries, with myself, with my health and fitness journey, that protect my energy as a whole. So that is number six, is one, letting others lead more, leaning back, not having to have so much control over everything. And at this, on the same token, also setting boundaries for myself within my life, within my work, so that I'm protecting my energy. Number seven is doing more things just for fun. So this kind of also goes back to saying yes more, being more spontaneous, doing things for fun that fill my cup. So again, figuring out what those boundaries need to be, what are my priorities, what will protect my energy, what will refill my energy, doing more things just for fun, and also trying new things, putting myself in that place of beginner, of that place of it is okay if I fail, like this is just for fun, that the achievement or the something that doesn't have an achievement or success associated with it, so that I can really just lean back and surrender and do it for fun instead of do it for a certain outcome. That exploring that in all different ways has been really, really helpful for me. One of the most recent ones that I've done is I went snowboarding last week, which is just like a fun hobby that I want to do on the side. Yoga, another huge one, is like there's no PRs associated with it. I don't desire to like be a pro yoga girly. Like I just go there and I move my body, and it's something that I do for fun, and it's something that is new, right? So that is something else. Paint by numbers, something that I explored a lot really last year. I haven't really done much recently, but paint by numbers. There's no outcome, there's no achievement, there's no success. Honestly, the amount of paint by numbers that I've actually fully finished, I think, is only one. I just do it because it is a hobby and it's fun and I like painting and I like that creative outlet. But there's no outcome or success tied to it. So yeah, that is number seven. And number eight is kind of probably also secondary to the very first one, which is no longer trying to prove myself and defining my worth by my productivity or my success. Number eight is just letting myself love myself, learning how to love myself, letting myself receive compliments more unconditionally by others and by myself, especially learning to love and accept the parts of myself that used to hold shame in the past. And this has been done through exploring a lot of shadow work. But just learning how to love yourself is going to honestly create the ripple effect in all of these other things that you allow yourself to do. It's going to create the ripple effect in really allowing yourself to no longer have to prove to yourself, to own your worth, to feel like you're good enough, to be in this place of power and confidence and authenticity and softness and slowness and playfulness and innocence. And whether it is the dark or the light, it, defining this like divine balance of the two, it all starts with knowing who you are and loving that. And then they all start to build from there. And so really just focusing on how can I love myself, whether it's through actions or it's through my self-talk or whatever it is for you. I really encourage you to just begin exploring that and remind you that you can't love what you don't know. So you also have to, in the journey of learning how to love yourself, is probably go through some dark places of parts of yourself that have been hidden in the shadows that may hold pain or shame that need healing. I know that it's literally been the most transformational thing for me. I'm actually in the process of creating an entire masterclass right now all about the shadow self. And I'm really, really, really excited to deliver to you guys. Look out for that coming next week for sure. And if you are listening to this not on the day that it has been launched and recorded, then it's probably already out and you can probably already access it. So I'm really excited to dive even deeper into the shadow, the feminine pieces of your essence being some of the most common things that are within the shadow that need to be reclaimed in order for you to step into this place of authenticity and alignment and inner authority and abundance within your life that are the values and identities of being a 1% woman. So I hope this episode was helpful for you guys. I hope it was like kind of eye-opening to see that there are all different ways for you to embody your feminine. Some of the things that I've done specifically on my journey, I'm sure that there are so many more, but these are just the ones that came to me initially, was no longer trying to prove myself, sliding more into like a feminine approach to my health and fitness journey, spending more time with high vibe women and celebrating sisterhood, tapping more so into my emotions, focusing a little bit more on my appearance and my self-expression and my creative vortex, letting others lead, not needing to be so hyper controlling, setting healthy boundaries that protect my energy, doing things just for fun and trying new things, and also learning to love myself more and practice just receiving compliments from other people and myself and celebrating how incredible I actually am away from anything that I've been able to achieve. So yeah, hope that this episode was helpful for you guys. If it was, I would really, really appreciate if you could leave it a 5-star review, comment below, share it with someone that you know needs to hear, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.